What do you see? What's that? Doves, okay. No right or wrong answers. What do you see? I'll start over here. I usually go in the middle aisle, but I'll go on the side aisle today. What do you see, Bob?
Doves.
Doves, okay. What else do you see? What else do you see?
Water.
What else do you see? No right or wrong answers. Oh, birds. Okay, what else do you see? What's that? A cardinal, okay. Swirling colors, good. What are some verbs that you would put to this picture? Some verbs, some action words. Movement. What are some verbs?
Soaring.
No right or wrong answers. What were you going to say, Anne? Swirling, okay. What are some other action words that you would put to this picture? No right or wrong answers. What's that?
Flying,
okay. What do you think, Jim? Flight, okay. Chaotic, yeah. See, everyone is experiencing this picture a little bit different. That's the nice thing about art. There's lots of different interpretations. That's okay. How about some feelings? What are some feeling words when you get when you look at this picture? Mad, sad, glad, afraid.
Joyful,
yeah. Serenity, okay. Anybody else? What's that? Turbulence. Yeah. All of those things are there. All of those things are there in this painting of the Holy Spirit. All those things are there. All right. Stay with those reactions. Stay with those reactions. They're all good. They're all good. All right. Beauty. Okay. Thank you, Doris. So as we continue our sermon series, you can get out your outlines if you want to follow along in your outline and take notes or not, is fine. We're going to talk today about Luther's Small Catechism and the third article of the Apostles' Creed. And you didn't know you're going to get a catechism lesson today, but it's all there in the story. It's all there in the story. So God calls, the Holy Spirit calls Paul, or Saul, as he was called at this time. He says to Saul, get up and go. Get up and go. Now, what's interesting about this story is that, what did I say at the beginning of worship? The scandal of Easter is that God is not dead, that Jesus is alive, that the grave could not contain Jesus, and that God's Spirit is alive and well in the world, active. And so Saul, here's the scandal right here, Saul, who is an enemy of Christians and of Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to him, Jesus comes to him, gives him a vision and says, no, you have a different calling in the world, not to kill but to heal. Not to arrest, but to make free. And you will do so in my name, and you will suffer. But this is your calling. And so God calls him. And God calls all of us. See, this is also the scandal of Easter, is that God's unpredictable Spirit, who'd have thunk it, would be in you. And me? And us together? That in your baptism, by virtue of you being a Christian at all, God calls you. That's the unpredictable part. Who would have known? Who would have thunk, right? But here you are. That's God. That's God. Maybe now it wasn't a call like Lucy here, but when have you ever experienced a call to love and to serve? Maybe it's a grandma or a parent. Maybe it's in your work. Whenever you have experienced a call to love and to serve like Paul, like Saul, that's God. That's God's Spirit. Sometimes I think we think that in order to be called by God, we have to have this great vision, like Saul. We have to be struck blind or dumb or deaf or mute or, I don't know, whatever. It has to be some kind of earth-shattering, bending experience. Who knows? But yet God can come to us in a myriad of ways. In ways that we might think are just normal. But yet that's God's Spirit. Think of Ananias. Ananias was just minding his business. See, there's two conversion stories, two call stories in this story that we heard today. Because not only is Saul called, but Ananias, the Christian, the follower of Jesus, is also called to love somebody who he doesn't want to love and thinks that he's awful. Ananias also has a vision and is converted and says, you know, Ananias, Jesus says, you need to go lay your hands on Saul and pray for him. Ananias says, I don't think so. What does Ananias end up calling him? Brother Saul. Two conversions that happen. When have you been called? That's God. Holy Spirit gathers. Even when we look at this call story, even when we look at this story of Paul, Saul's experience of the Holy Spirit, we like to reduce it to this one event on the road. We think, oh, that's when it happened. Jesus appeared to him. The vision, that's when it happened. But Jesus was present. God's Spirit was present through the whole event. Because what happened afterwards, he went to Damascus and he was with the disciples there. He talked to them. He met with them. They prayed with him. They had worship together. They ate together. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God. The Holy Spirit gathers the people of God together. This is right out of Luther's Catechism. And he got it where? Right from the Bible, but he just summarized it nicely. So when have you ever experienced being together, a sense of togetherness? Now, I know, you'll say, no, Pastor Aaron, and I'll say, yes. I'm an introvert. No, Pastor Aaron. No, yes, I am. And nobody would believe me, but it's true. You know, I get a sense sometimes that I'm alone in a crowd. You know, if you've been to a party or you've been to a store and you're kind of there and there's a bazillion people there and you still kind of feel this sense of like, you know, you're just all by yourself, even though you're together with other people. But then there's the opposite of that, where maybe you're at a concert, maybe you're here in church, maybe you're singing a song, maybe you're with your family, you're playing a game with your friends, you're at a baseball game. I don't know. And you get a sense that we're all in this together. That's God. That's God's Spirit. That's what you're experiencing. The Holy Spirit gathers. When have you perceived a sense of togetherness? That's God. God's Spirit enlightens. Holy Spirit enlightens. Scales fell from his eyes. So there's a physical representation in this story of Saul being able to perceive differently. And again, Ananias was able to perceive Saul differently. Going from enemy, oh, he's the one who's persecuting us, to brother Saul. The Holy Spirit enlightens. There's so many stories from my life where I feel like I was awoken to being able to perceive something differently, or a people differently, or a situation differently, or myself differently, in a new and life-giving way. I remember once talking to one of my older friends and mentors. He's a pastor now. His name is Jamie Authier, and he was one of my camp counselors. And this was when I was a teen, and I think I've told this story before, but it's so illustrative. And I was complaining about my dad, you know, as teenagers do. And I was like, my dad, so-and-so, you know, he always says I got to do this, and he wants me to do this thing, and oh my gosh, and I can't say a word as wise. And he said to me, Jamie said to me, you know, he just wants the best for you, and he's trying to do that in the best way he knows how. And I said, oh. And I could see it. Because before, it always felt like he was just trying to control me. But after that, I could see that he was trying to love me the best way he knew how. That's God. That's God. When have you perceived God's presence in your life, or a person or a situation in a new way? That's God. That's God's Spirit. Holy Spirit forgives us. Again, we go back to this reconciling. Ananias says, he's the enemy. Saul says, he's the enemy. And then they're not enemies anymore. That's God. That's God. When I was at summer camp, I was boisterous, you can imagine. And there was a young woman whose job it was to lead worship. And she was learning how to lead worship, and I thought I was an expert at leading worship. And so while she was leading worship, I decided to just kind of bust in and take over because I was 19 and, you know, boisterous. And she felt really bad about that. And all of our fellow counselors and friends were like, her name is Amy. Amy, you got to go. You got to go and tell Aaron. He's not evil. He wants to learn. He was making a mistake. You need to reconcile with him and forgive him. And so she came to me and said, it really hurt my feelings when you came in and you took over worship. And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize what I was doing. I'm so sorry. And instead of being enemies for the rest of the summer, we were friends. That's God. That's God. When have you forgiven or been forgiven? When have you forgiven someone else or been forgiven? That's God's Spirit. That's God. Holy Spirit makes us holy. Here's the scandal of Easter right here. We could all take our shoes off right now. I don't. But you could. Because we're standing on holy ground. Why? Because we're in each other's presence. And why is being in each other's presence holy? Because God's Spirit is in you. You are holy because God has poured out God's Spirit in you. You're not holy because you're awesome. You're awesome because you're holy. And God has made you that way by virtue of your baptism. That's what happened to Paul. He was baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. They laid hands on him. And so whenever I'm with you, I'm with God. And whenever you're with me, you're with God. Not because I'm God or you're God, but because God is in us. God's Holy Spirit is in us. Why do you think Paul could do all the crazy things that he did? It's because God was in him. Whenever I get together with my peer ministers, the young high schoolers that I train, that's the thing I tell them. I say, you are a temple. You are a sanctuary that God chooses to dwell in. When have you sensed that? That you were set apart for a special purpose, that God indeed dwells in you. That's God's Spirit. That's God. Finally, the Holy Spirit gives us full life. Look at Paul. Killing to proclaiming, arresting to be made free. He was transformed and given a new life. And that is God with us. When have you ever felt most alive, alive, alive so much that you couldn't keep it to yourself, alive so much that you wanted to share it with somebody else? Maybe it's when you have pictures of your grandkids. I don't know. I know it's me. It's laughing with my children, you know. We're rolling on the floor, and Elijah's just going crazy. He's like, wah! You know, he's laughing. That's God. That's a holy moment when you feel alive and vital. The world has beauty and meaning. That's God. That's God's Spirit. When have you felt most resurrected? That's God. Everybody make a fist. Make a fist. We get trapped sometimes by our concepts and our imagination about how God's Spirit works. We think that maybe I had this experience of God a long time ago, maybe as a kid. And we think, that's what God's like. God is this thing, and we want to hold on to that. We want to hold on to it and say, that's who God is. And maybe it's a positive experience, or maybe it's a negative experience. It goes both ways. Some people have a negative experience of the church or of God. Or of Christians. And they think, that's the way God is. But the scandal of Easter is that God's unpredictable spirit is alive, not dead. And if God's spirit is alive, that means God is still doing things in our lives, in your life. And so just because you experience God in one particular way at one particular time doesn't mean that God is done with you or with us. Sometimes you got to let go of that one particular experience to be free and open-handed. Make your hands open now. To experience God's Holy Spirit in a new way today. No one could have predicted that Saul would become Paul. And yet, that's what God did. So I invite you to open your hands to receive the Holy Spirit again in a new way. We just went through all the ways that God can interact with us. How is God continuing to reveal God's self to you? Amen.